The Round Table on Crick Info Talk.
Hello and welcome to the Crick Info Round Table, the place where we discuss all that matters in the world of cricket. Winners of the World Cup in 1975 and 79, players of the caliber of the three W's, Sir Gary Sobers, Clive Lloyd, Viv Richards, Joel Garner, Michael Holding, the list is endless. That was the power and aura of West Indian cricket once. Things now have sadly changed. From being the number one side in the world, the West Indies cricket team finds itself languishing close to the bottom of the ranking table. What seems to be the problem with West Indies cricket? Can they ever reclaim their glory days? To answer these questions and more, I have with me former West Indies baseman Michael Holding, someone who was very much part of the glory days of West Indies cricket, and David Lloyd, former coach of England. Welcome, gentlemen, to the Cricket Info Roundtable. But let me start with Michael here. Michael, just your reaction after this test series, West Indies going down 3-0 in a four-test match series.
Well, Sanjay, to be honest, I don't think too many people expected anything different. I think some people expected even a 4-0 loss to the West Indies. But at the same time, I think they have stood up and done a lot better than some people would have thought before the series started. Yes, they lost three test matches, but at different stages of this test series, I think this West Indies team showed a little bit more character than we're accustomed to in the recent past. The first test match, for instance, at Lord's, when England got over 550 runs and West Indies were struggling with 5 wickets down, everybody thought, well, this is all over. Maybe a three-day test match. And in the end, on the last day, when the West Indies were set over 400 runs to win, they were 98 without loss. You know, they were fighting back, got over 400 runs in the first innings, and although, you know, they didn't win the test match, they ended up with an honourable draw. Mm-hmm. They lost the other three, yes. Of the other three, Sanjay, I would think only Leeds they would feel embarrassed about. Mm-hmm. And the last test match at Durham, they lost that test match in one session, when the captain just did a lot of things that were inexplicable and gave the test match to England. So I don't think they did as badly as some people would have thought. And the 3-0 result line, yes, England played certainly a lot better than the West Indies, but I think West Indies did reasonably well.
David, your thoughts?
I thought West Indies had some good spells, but not nearly enough. I've just made a few notes here that the team appears to lack energy and intensity. I think the captain was unfortunate to leave. Sarwan would have been the captain. He would have been a really good leader, and that's tough when you get injured and have to go back. And the new lad who took over just wasn't up to it. He was out of his depth, I would say, at this level, Darren Ganga. They had good spells, as I say. I thought Edwards coming into the team was a good move because he gives them a bit of firepower. They've got some pace, and pace hurts people, and he got his reward, but the fielding was atrocious. That is really an area that West Indies have to improve big time, that the fielding, I would say, at test match level, unacceptable. And even from a distance, and I will say this from a distance, that they looked uncaring. It didn't look as if it mattered too much to them. Chanderpaul was outstanding, and quite rightly, he was man of the series. He just showed the younger players how to play test match cricket, and these younger players should draw on the experience of touring England and all the vagaries that brings along with all the different atmospheric conditions and the different pitches.
Well, gentlemen, thank you for your thoughts on the series, but this discussion is more about West Indies cricket, the past, the present and the future, more than a series review. Now, Mikey, in spite of the 3-0 loss, you said you weren't really that disappointed or you expected a similar result. Does that also show that, you've toned down your expectations a great deal in the last few years? Is that a good sign or you don't want to raise too much hopes? How do you look at that?
No, I haven't toned down my expectations, Sanjay. Okay. You have to be realistic with the team that you have got. Mm-hmm. The West Indies at the moment haven't got a very good team. All people have been talking about and all people have been hoping for to see some sort of commitment from the people that go out onto the field. You don't expect them to be a good team because, as I said, they are not a very good team. It's as simple as that. Chris Gayle, okay, he makes runs sometimes, but no one could say that he's a consistent opening batsman. He has made a century for over three years. Darren Ganga came back into the team. Nobody could say Darren Ganga has accomplished himself at the test level. The batsmen that have done it consistently, Chanderpaul and Sarwan, two. No more than that. You know, there's some others that have ability, but they have not shown any consistency. the bowling department is very weak. Fidelio came back into the bowling department and, as Bumble said, gave them a bit of fire and showed that what he's capable of doing. But apart from Fidelio, it was who else in that bowling attack has established himself at test match level. So we're not trying to say that this West Indies team is good and we expect a great deal from them. All people are expecting from them and hoping from them is commitment and application and caring. And with, I think we saw a little bit more of that in this test series than we saw in the recent past. I totally agree with Bum there that the fielding was atrocious. You know, there's a lot of work to be done in that regard. But West Indies cricket in general has a lot of work to do. And the people that are responsible for West Indies cricket, they have gotten so accustomed to just sitting back, having their meetings, having a drink and going home without actually planning the future of West Indies cricket, that know that they have to, they haven't got a clue what to do. It's as simple as that.
Right. You know, David Mike, you talked about, I mean, he's being realistic here. The kind of ability that you have, you can only expect so much. My question to you, David, is can the ability in the team, can the talent get better, and can we expect West Indies to be one of the top teams? And Mikey briefly mentioned the administrators for not doing enough. Just your thoughts, you know, because you want West Indies to be right there at the top. At the moment, they are not the best team in the world, but is there any hope at all in the future? And where really do you need to put in the hard work?
Well, I'd say there's a lot of hope, and you look at younger players, and optimistically, if you're on the coaching staff, you hope that they improve from the experience that they've had. I think there are a number of the players, and particularly Chris Gayle, who appears to be in a big comfort zone, and somebody needs to challenge him for his place. If you don't score hundreds at the top of the innings for 3 years, there's a massive problem there. But I'd always be optimistic with younger players to try to get hold of them and shake them up a little bit, because there are times in this series when they've fought hard, but there are other times when they've looked abysmal. And so I think from a management viewpoint, you stick with them, you stick with these younger players, you identify the talent and then mould them into a unit. They were distracted, these younger players understandably got distracted from an England team who are now going around, the England side are going around saying we are ruthless. Well, their opposition hasn't been great here, so they could be ruthless, and they chirped away around the bat and got inside the minds of some of these younger players. And the experience for the younger players to draw on somebody like Greenidge and Haynes and Richards, nobody would speak to them at all. They'd be frightened to death of them. And if anybody does speak to you, you just completely and utterly disregard it. And from a bowling viewpoint, don't get hot under the collar with a batsman. We've had some terrific interviews with Michael Holding and with Andy Roberts, and we talk about many. Andy Roberts never said a word to you, but you knew damn well that he was gunning for you. And so younger players, I think, get distracted from the business at hand, and that he's playing a day's cricket. Do not get involved with the opposition, but breed a little bit of menace and let them know that you're around. So optimistically, and Mikey will tell you far more about this than I know about, but I would suggest that it's got to be right at the very top, at the administration. If it's not right at admin level and inter-island level, it will compound itself on the field, because it's no fun playing for an organisation that is at loggerheads with each other. I can promise you that. I've had that with England during the 90s. The players were against the administration, if you like, and it compounds itself on the field. But optimism, yeah, lots of it. Younger players, it's great fun for a coach or a manager to get involved with younger players, and in 5 years down the line say, crikey, they've come a long way.
Mikey, you know, you have to accept one thing, that you talk about ability, quality of talent that's coming through. Administration in our parts of the world, India, West Indies, has never been great. The infrastructure has never been great. But the talent that just used to come to the fore, to the first class level, was outstanding. You don't get the same quality of talent coming through now in the West Indies. What do you think is the main reason for that?
You don't have as many people playing the game in the Caribbean now, Sandy. It's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. Years ago, you had everybody playing cricket in the Caribbean. Football was a very popular sport, and it's still a very popular sport, the most popular as far as participation is concerned. But the amount of people playing the game 30, 40 years ago is perhaps 3-4 times what you have playing the game today. And so the administrators have got to put in the infrastructure, have got to put in the facilities to make sure that the kids who want to play the game can easily access the game, because there are so many many other games that are easily accessible. Plus, we are in the modern days of computers and these handheld computer games, and kids just doing whatever is easy for them. Basketball courts are built all around the Caribbean with lights. They don't have to worry about daylight hours. They come home from school or from work, they can go and play basketball. They don't have to worry about preparing any surfaces, any pitches, getting any special uniforms, buying any expensive equipment. It is all there ready for them. But what the cricket administrators have got to do is make cricket readily available, just as the other sports and the other distractions are readily available. The next thing that I think the West Indies Cricket Board need to think about, and think about seriously, is these tours that they accept. Every tour is negotiated. Schedule that you go on a tour is agreed on between both boards. The West Indies Cricket Board needs to stop accepting these tours where you have only international cricket and a couple of other games, because we certainly don't play enough domestic cricket in the Caribbean to nurture our cricketers full time. We had to go on tour years ago, long tours, when West Indies were going to India, for instance, for 4 months, other countries were going for 2.5, because we knew the value of going on long tours. We didn't have a lot of cricket in the Caribbean, so we needed to take 16, 17 cricketers, including 2 or 3 who would perhaps knew would not play in a test match, but would gain from the experience of playing in the other games on tour. Similarly with England, when we went to England, we played every county, some counties twice, and the youngsters that we thought had some ability would go on these tours, and they were brought on these tours in these other games apart from the international games. If the West Indies Cricket Board isn't doing anything at home and not doing anything on tour, how are the young cricketers going to get developed? Never.
Right, David. Also, you know, Mike mentioned about the infrastructure, the social change, the lifestyle change. There not enough planning, international tours. But also another problem that West Indies have, or the young talent have, is they don't have a Michael Holding next to them or a Malcolm Marshall next to them who they have to compete with or look up to as heroes that they can emulate. You know, so the youngsters coming through now, the 10-year-old, 12-year-olds, there aren't too many sporting heroes or cricketing heroes that they can look up to. So can we at all expect outstanding talent to come through? Are we just hoping against hope, say, in the next 10, 15, 20 years? Can we see West Indies becoming one of the stronger teams in world cricket consistently?
Well, I think they've got to be radical, and infrastructure is all important. You need top administrators. It needs to be an attractive game. It needs to be accessible. Icons, yes, you certainly need them. And if I was the West Indies, and you've got to understand, Sanjay, that I'm miles away, I'm way outside of what goes on in West Indies cricket, but I do know that there's a man who is passionate about West Indies cricket called Sanford, and he seems to have a shed load of money. I think if the administrators and ex-players, the very best players, could put forward a plan from the West Indies Cricket Board of where we want to be in 5 or 10 years' time and present that to Mr. Sanford and say, please, help us out, he may just get involved, because from what I can see, he is really passionate about West Indies cricket. And if he can provide a team in 5 or 10 years' time that can compete with India and Pakistan and England and Australia, I think that would be something that may be attractive to him. But he needs to be given a plan. I think that the West Indies have all the facilities that they want, but they don't seem to have the wherewithal to put it together into a plan to encourage young players to play and give them the facilities and the structure.
Mikey, you agree with that? Do you think Stanford can be a hope?
He certainly can. I know the fact, Sanjay, that Sanjay went to the West Indies Cricket Board quite a few years ago and said, listen, I've got some money I would like to get involved with West Indies Cricket to help West Indies Cricket. Bring a plan forward. Show me where this money is going to be spent. Show me the benefit of this money. And he got nothing, Sanjay. That is why he has now started his own 2020 tournament. That's what I mean about administration of cricket in the West Indies. They are just accustomed to not having to do anything because West Indies cricket just flowed, and know that they have to, they haven't got a clue what to do.
And also a bit complex, the administration in West Indies. You know, it's just not one cricket board, but different mindsets, different approaches, trying to come together in one cause.
Sanjay, if you have a major body like the West Indies Cricket Board that is made up of the minor bodies, the different island cricket boards, there are no foreigners in that cricket board, in the West Indies Cricket Board. You have two representatives from the six different regions. They make up the West Indies Cricket Board along with the president and the vice president and some other people that are co-opted onto the board. So there are no foreigners there. They're all involved in West Indies Cricket. So if you're all involved in West Indies Cricket and you're representing the different boards around the Caribbean as one major board at the top, why should there be differences in the direction which you want to go?
Correct.
That is the board that should be setting the policy for the rest of the Caribbean.
Right. Gentlemen, as a genuine West Indian cricket fan, as I've been over the years, I want to know from you, or are we just saying it for the sake of saying that there is still hope in West Indies cricket, but say if the administration pick up their game and some, you know, great talent comes to the ranks, there is better efficiency in the system, can we at all expect West Indies to be there, up there, as I said, consistently in the top three over a number of years, or it's too much to expect now with the current setup, the social changes that have happened, and West Indies the way it is, for us to expect West Indies to be at the top of the game again?
I mean, just let me say, Sanjay, when I was involved with the England team, they were at rock bottom, and they decided they couldn't go any lower. And they got themselves together at admin level and put in a good structure to ensure that the players that were coming through and being developed through academies and under-19s had the tools to work with. And they went from maybe 7th or 8th in the world to 2nd in the world. They won the Ashes. I know they slipped back a bit, but I do think that the ECB in this last 3 or 4 months have put a lot of things in place to ensure that the England team are moving forward again. They've had a very poor winter, but they've been very quick to put into place a different system with a different coach, and they've just split the captaincy. They've got Alan Donnell on board. They've got Andy Flower on board. I think they've moved very quickly. There's no reason, and we keep coming back to it, the top level of administration has to put it in place to allow players to play to the best of their ability. I keep stressing I'm at a distance from West Indies. I don't see that. It's not in place. And if you want an idea, and you know I can come from left field at any time, he's not everybody's cup of tea. Just say to Duncan Fletcher, organise our cricket for us. He's not everybody's cup of tea, but one thing he can do is organise.
Mikey, do you think West Indies can do what England did? I mean, England and West Indies, is there any comparison at all with the administrative abilities?
There's no way you can say that West Indies can't come back, Sanjay. You know, when West Indies started to go down in 1995, people thought, okay, in 10 years they were back. In 10 years they weren't back because there were too many destabilizing factors involved. You still have to make sure that the right systems are in place, the right people are in place that can take your cricket forward. And at the moment, it's not there. It's as simple as that. We have a man now that is president of the West Indies Cricket Board that he just doesn't have a clue what he's doing. He thinks he's running his own patty shop, and he doesn't know anything about cricket. And the FCD wants to be interfering with everything. Even just recently, the matter of Sawan being captain. He wanted Darren Ganga as captain. I'll say that straight out plain. He wanted Darren Ganga as captain. Mm-hmm. Well, we have seen what Darren Ganga has brought to the team. Mm-hmm. He needs to let cricket be run by people who know cricket. It's as simple as that. He's a president of the board, but he wants to get his hands in cricketing matters, and he knows nothing about cricketing matters. Mm-hmm. Until we can get people who know about cricketing matters involved in cricketing matters, we are going nowhere.
Well, gentlemen, finally, your thoughts on the recent series. Just a final thought on England, West Indies forward, and we'll wind up this discussion.
Well, I think that England were thoroughly deserved a 3-0 win, and I think it would have been predictable. And England are going to get a tougher test against India, and I think they fully accept that. But England have had some players that have come through and done very well, notably Ryan Sidebottom and Matt Prior as a wicketkeeper. We've been looking for a keeper, and he's done a very good job. Alistair Cook continues to improve. Peterson scored a double hundred. Michael Vaughan got back into the team. So Englanders say that they're on track. And in this series, I'd probably give England an 8 out of 10 with time to do a little bit more against India, who will be tougher opposition. And West Indies have a long way to go, but I would be certainly optimistic about younger players learning. Can you learn from your experience and from your mistakes and look at your senior player, Chander Paul, who batted beautifully throughout the series and showed what Test match batting is all about? So West Indies, it's a hard slog, and it's always a challenge for anybody to get involved and say, OK, that's where we are in 2007, let's see where we are in 2010.
Right, Mikey, of course, West Indies do not need to look back, right? They've got to keep looking forward. You know what I mean, with one individual showing some interest in wanting to come back into the thick of things.
We have to keep looking forward. We have to keep looking at things that which way we can improve. And certainly we need to put some things in place right now. You know, the person that is coaching the West Indies team right now was originally the assistant coach. Mm. And I'm not too sure if he's capable of doing the job that is required for this West Indies team. They need to look at what else is available, who else is available on the outside right now, get everything around the team to the satisfaction of the people involved in the team that are happy with all that is involved close in. Mm-hmm. Because the West Indies Cricket Board itself, Sanjay, the constitution would have to change for us to be thinking about how we're going to change who actually gets there.
Absolutely.
And the cricketers themselves, the people, former cricketers, can't do that. So we have to make sure that the cricketers who are actually playing have comfortable surroundings and a good work ethic, also a good atmosphere within which to work. And then perhaps we can start moving forward.
Right, thank you, Michael Holding and David Lloyd, for your thoughts on West Indies cricket and the recent results. Thank you so much for joining me on the Cricket Info Roundtable.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Sanjay.
Thank you, Jen.
You're listening to Cricket Info Talk.